to Art If,
the podcast about art, life, and everything in between. As theater makers, we believe in the power of stories to help us understand history and contemporary social contexts. These stories unfold worlds of events that often differ dramatically from our own lived experiences. They open portals through which we can glimpse other worlds, whether they are fantastical or simply another person's reality. These stories help us learn to ask questions about what life is like for those around us. They inspire us to learn more about things we never knew we never knew. And they aid us in growing empathy for experiences unlike our own. In this minisode, in support of Black Lives Matter, we extend our conversation with playwright, director, and theater maker Quill Camp and share some of our favorite plays by Black playwrights. All right, so in thinking through this moment that we're in right now, of fed up rising, what are some plays that are inspiring you or speaking to you in this moment?
Yeah, well, maybe all three of us could answer that. I mean, maybe it could be, you know, we could create our own little mini list.
Yeah.
But yeah, the plays I've been thinking about, one is The Mojo and the Say-So by Aisha Rahman, which is from the 80s and is about police violence. I once heard this monologue by Aisha Rahman that I don't think was ever published, but it was a monologue written from the perspective of Amadou Diallo, and who you may remember was, you know, shot 41 times by the NYPD. And it was so beautiful, but I don't know that it was ever published. But it was just a poetic, I mean, she really draws on, creates a mythopoetic space and draws on jazz and draws on other kinds of traditions in a really beautiful way. So there's that play, The Mojo and the Say-So. I've been thinking about Fairview and the way that it deconstructs the sort of white audience, the white space of so much theater production in the US. Jackie Sibley's Drury. So and that's just a fantastic play. There was a Soho Rep a couple years ago and won the Pulitzer Prize. But is it really kind of a call to arms to think more critically, I mean, for white people, really, to think more critically about the ways in which spaces that might seem neutral to white people are actually like places of white supremacy, right? So thinking about those spaces. And that's a really great play. And
when recently there's been like a Instagram monologue circulating about the white supremacy of Broadway. I don't know if y'all have seen it, but just sort of calling out like how few Black folks and people of color are even involved in theater making at all levels. And we all really need to check ourselves in spite of theater being a very sort of liberal institution generally.
Yeah, and the artistic leadership of the theaters.
One of my friends is a stagehand in New York, and he wrote a long post about, especially in the production, the technical side, the designers, right, the offstage, how very few people of color he's worked with in his years there, because we have this wonderful selection of plays that in recent years is putting people of color on stage, but they're not always a part of the vision and the creation and the idea and the voice behind it.
Well, that was actually my choice of donation during this time was to like the historically Black theaters and put my money there. Because, you know, I think another reason why theater is important is because it does give voice, because it isn't often so heavily influenced by like money and sort of power, because it happens on a smaller grassroots scale. You do tend to hear different voices on the theatrical stage than you might in film. In terms of plays that, you know, I just generally, I feel like I would go with the big guns, but, you know, August Wilson, for anyone who's not a theater listener, you know, theater person, should go there. And then Susan Laurie Parks is my favorite. And when you were talking about Fairview, it made me think of like the triangle of the gaze in Venus and how the body is sort of exposed and the history of that. And then there's also Terrell McCraney, right?
Yeah, Terrell Alva McCraney, the brother sisters plays. Yeah, those are really beautiful in terms of they situate this like long history in a contemporary moment. And so they're right, like really playing with genealogy a lot. The other ones I thought of are Brandon Jacob Jenkins works, right? Appropriate, which is really, really exploring denial in the denial of racism within a family and sort of how they confront that. And then An Octoroon, which is a retelling of Dion, who's his way?
Husico? What's his name? I don't know how you pronounce it. Because he was Irish, but he has a French name.
Yeah, melodrama. It's a retelling of that melodrama. It's really powerful.
Well, and then the Slave play was just on Broadway, right?
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yeah, by Jeremy Harris.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, another play another really great play is Underground Railroad Game.
I don't know that one.
That's by Jennifer Kidwell and Scott Shepherd. And that's kind of out of the devising world. But it's a great play about a middle school where they play the Underground Railroad game.
And
Wow.
Juxtaposes, which is based on a true story. And then juxtaposes that with, you know, sort of fantastical interpretation of history. But it's great.
Do you guys know Sharon Bridgeforth?
The name sounds vaguely familiar.
She wrote The Bulging Stories and Love Conjure Blues. And she works in what's called the jazz aesthetic. And she does this really collaborative kind of work. And her play scripts in the writing, she's playing with form a little bit too. She often doesn't designate speakers necessarily, although I think in The Bulging Stories, she uses different typefaces to indicate the different characters. And so they're performance texts, is the way she would describe it, as opposed to a play script. And it's been 10 years since I've read them, probably. But I would just throw her name in the mix because they're really poetic and beautiful.
Awesome.
The list we include here is by no means exhaustive. Black theater in the United States is a rich trove of storytelling, exploration, and innovation. However, institutionalized theater in the United States has always made it difficult for Black artists and Black stories to make their way to the stage. Representation matters. Please share your favorite plays by people of color with us by tagging us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at ArtIfPodcast, #ArtIfPodcast.
If Podcast is produced by
Hattie Cry
and Yasi Jahanmir.
Our theme music was composed by Muhammad Abdul Salam.
Follow us at Art If Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook to stay up to date on upcoming episodes and to join our vibrant community of artists.